Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How am I starting this? I don't know.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey. Everyone, we were wondering how to start. Hey, everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by Ross and Andrew. I didn't know how to start this one. And then Ross said I should go, hello. Hi.
How are you doing there?
You okay?
Oh, all's well with you.
At the time of recording, it's 11 a.m. It feels like it's about 6 a.m.
It could be 2012 as far as I'm concerned. In the year 2012.
Why?
Just fuzziness that I associate with uni life.
Yeah, you just feel like
on
that.
On the bevies.
You're on the bevs.
What are we doing?
Well, it's a pay-per-view week, which means it's always busy, but it's a big one. It's the crowd favourite of all pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah.
The Royal Rumble, yeah.
Even the bad ones are fantastic.
Last year, challenged that theory.
If only Shane McMahon would have won, that would have made it better.
It would, but it's the 2023 Rumble this Saturday. Are we excited generally for the Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
As always, yeah.
I think so. First one under Triple H's creative control.
He's always apparently quite good at... He always, apart from last year, has a hand in helping out with the Rumbles and seems to know what he's doing. Mm. Seems to be good at showcasing individual talents in the Rumble.
Yes, and Shane McMahon won't be there this year.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
No, he's not going to be. He got fired and hasn't been asked back after saying, I should beat him and him and him.
And Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton and everyone. We are here to, your notes there, to discuss 9 lovely pitches for the Royal Rumble event on Saturday, as I mentioned. We're going to do 3 pitches each. We've each brought 3 to the table. We'll go around in cyclical fashion, Ross, then Andrew, then myself, and then we'll do that 3 times. We'll be left with 9 wonderful Royal Rumble pitches. But remember, it's not what we think is going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Yes. Ross. Yes, Queen. Ross, your first pitch, please.
Sashay.
Away.
Shantae, you say.
Right, so coming out of the trial of Sami Zayn, something has stuck with me, everybody. Paul Heyman noting that ECW is dead and he wishes the same for Sami Zayn, right? Mm-hmm. He said this out of his own mouth. This seems a bit too much for me, given how Paul has openly loved Sami being a part of the bloodline up until very recently, and how he got Roman to stick with Sami through to the Rumble, at least, on this week's SmackDown, with the whole thing about pissing out of the castle rather than pissing on the castle.
He wants him on the side.
He wants him on the side, yeah. Roman has told Sami that he doesn't want to see him before Saturday, so we're sat here on Wednesday before Friday's SmackDown, before Saturday's Rumble. Yeah. So obviously on Friday at SmackDown, Kevin Owens is going to attack Roman and the rest of the bloodline in a way that wipes out the rest of the bloodline, meaning there is now only one man who can save Roman's bacon. Oh, yeah. The vigilante in the shadows. The red blood cell of the bloodline. It's Samuel James Cuthbert Sane. On one hand, Sami has saved Roman Reigns from a beating and a disadvantage at the Rumble because he would be hurt, but once again proved his loyalty to the bloodline. And Roman, but on the other hand, he's gone against something Roman clearly stated at least twice on Raw, so obviously Roman is happy with him, but not too happy with him. There's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction in Roman's voice as we move on towards the Rumble. Owens and Reigns are having their match now at the Royal Rumble event on Saturday night. At one point in the match, Owens is absolutely smashing Reigns all over the shop, and naturally, because he is still so loyal to the bloodline and Roman, Sami Zayn emerges from the ramp because he is concerned, but he's walking softly, tentatively, brimmed with caution. Sami stands at ringside and is at odds with Paul Heyman. Heyman is calling Sami all these names and wish he would go and stand on some Lego with no shoes on. Like that. Sami is just taking it, but willing Roman on, but with a tear in his eye because what Paul is shouting at him. Owens eventually has got Reigns down and beaten after one hellacious stunner, but in the process of Reigns like bouncing back From taking that stunner off the shoulder of Kevin Owens, he wipes out the referee with a flailing arm or a flailing leg, which in turn sends Owens on the hunt for some weapons, because he can do that now. The referee is purely sparked out, or out as we would say, with the King's English. Oh my God. Sammy rolls into the ring. Sammy rolls into the ring with a chair of his own and waits for Owens to get back in there, threatening to pummel his former friend with a foreign object. Heyman gets in the ring and gets in the middle of the two Canadians with Roman's lifeless body on the other side of his lovely alive body. Mm-hmm. Yes. You'll have to hit me to get to my tribal chief, says Paul. So Sammy threatens to, and because he's a big scaredy cat at heart, Heyman sees the threat and he rolls out the way because he's a big scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. Owens is now reviving the referee as Sammy is sort of stood there, conflicted. What do I do? Does he hit Owens and therefore get the match potentially thrown out if the referee sees what he does, and in the process make Roman Reigns look weak, having to resort to the DQ finish on the PLE, or does he simply get out of the ring and let Reigns fight back like only a tribal chief could? Mm. Oh, those are the only two options he has. He does neither.
Oh, right.
He actually smirks at Kevin, who smirks back at him, and then Sammy smirks at Paul, who then does that evil grin he does from time to time. You know that one where he sort of looks at the top of his eyes.
Oh, hang on. Whoa.
I wasn't expecting this.
And Paul Heyman whaps up in his blazer pocket, or his blazer jacket, gets in the pocket of said blazer and whaps out the contract we saw on SmackDown last week, the one that Kevin Owens signed and threw at Sami Zayn, because the name on the contract is Paul, displays towards the camera. It doesn't read Owens. It reads Zayn. It's his actual proper signature. That's how well KO knows his only friend in the world. You see, as I just said there, we had that moment on last week's SmackDown where Owens signed the contract. He threw it at Sammy, who conveniently didn't come out until after Owens was done putting Roman Reigns through a table. And then when Sammy was just sort of stood there at the end of the show looking at the contract, Heyman was just like, wow, 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 which I think was the catalyst for Heyman turning into such an arsehole towards Sammy.
Right.
Or was it there? Mm. Or was they just try to pull the wool over everybody's eyes? Something's not right here. Zayn could now pin Roman, but instead he picks up the microphone and says something like, Roman, stay three steps ahead, my boy. Your family isn't here. Kevin took care of them on SmackDown. You're all alone. Now, I could pin you if I wanted to, because historically it has been proven that things like this can happen because wrestling contracts are weird. Yeah. But I don't want to do that. You've doubted me so much for so long, and I want you to doubt me again, big boy, by accepting my challenge. Dramatic ellipsis. For WrestleMania. Samuel continues. The wise man has pulled some strings for me and Kevin. The winner of this year's Men's Royal Rumble match will face Kevin Owens at WrestleMania on Saturday, the first night of WrestleMania 39, with the winner of that one facing the winner of the main event of Night 2 on Sunday, which, if you accept, your big tribal chief prick, will be me challenging you for those two titles. I'll show you I'm the real tribal chief. I've written down there, you little bitch. Yeah, come on. That's what Sammy would obviously say. Roman ponders, but then eventually accepts to the terms so he can keep his title for the time being. The match gets thrown out. End of scene.
Yeah, this is a
bloody hell.
Lot of politics going on there.
So basically, I'm going back to that little bit where Heyman was going like, "You always got to stay three steps ahead." Word he called Sammy. What was it? Being with an S. I can't even remember. Yeah, whatever it was. He's just being very nice to him. And then all of a sudden, something happened on last week's SmackDown, and Paul's like, "Oh my God, he should die."
I know.
That's because Sammy was too late to the party.
Yeah, but it was a minor error. They needed an excuse for the trial of Sami Zayn on Raw.
Yeah,
it was very well put together. And it was like, you know, 2 days in the making.
Yeah. All the video packages.
I know, yeah. 2 days before that show aired, they were doing something completely different. So I don't know if that was even going to happen at all.
I know.
Oh, I thought you meant in kayfabe, like Jey Uso's got on Windows Movie Maker.
And well, that's it.
I need to stitch together all the evidence of Sammy being a good man.
The same font that was on the video and everything.
Mental. So yeah, it eventually get, you know, revealed that Sammy, Kev and Paul have been working along.
Right.
That's quite
why would they do that?
It's all the timings. Why would Sammy just appear after Kevin Owens?
Why would Heyman?
Because Heyman's a crafty man. Heyman wants to stay on the side of the person.
Montreal for life. You know, Paul Heyman, the famous Montrealian.
Why would he? Why would he jump ship from Roman, who's so strong?
Because he knows that Sami is the heart and soul.
He can see in his head. Right. He's getting paranoid.
So on Raw, why Roman's kept the title for so long and the Usos have kept the tag team title.
Oh. I'm really in the middle on this one. I don't know what to give it. What did you? You know
I'm like, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of cogs in this one.
There is,
and perhaps maybe some don't necessarily work as well as the others. But I think it's like it's one of those things where this storyline, right? I think it needs some sort of twists and turns. And I think something like that would be very good to see. Paul Heyman is very much the person who's like, if it benefits me, I'm going to be on the side of that person regardless. Yeah. Anyway, so that makes sense as well. So I'm going to give it a yes. I'm going to give it a yes because I think it's quite, it's like Game of Thrones.
There are lots of behind the scenes craftiness going on. I'll give it a yes as well because it's better than two of mine at least, if not three. So I'm just really embarrassed about especially my last.
Don't be embarrassed.
Both second and third ones are bad in this video, just to warn everybody. It's a yes from me.
I like
the intrigue and I like the setup along the road to WrestleMania as well.
Yes. First one of the year. First yes of the year.
Yeah.
We brought the duck.
Andrew.
Smashed the duck's head off the table.
Well, mine's also in regards to Sami Zayn at the Royal Rumble, and it's I've kind of done this. It's like a storyline thing. It's not necessarily like I've not booked the Rumble match itself and little bits here. It's
I have.
It's the premise.
Okay.
It's the premise of what we're gonna do with Sami Zayn for his final test at the Royal Rumble. So, Royal Rumble opens up with the honorary who's pacing the corridors of the Alamo Dome. He's nervous and anxious. He fights with himself to pluck up enough courage to knock on the dressing room door of the tribal chief. And as he goes to do so, the door opens. Out emerge Jimmy and Jay, somewhat stoic in their facial expressions. They're engaging in the super oozy secret handshake with their adopted brethren. They wish Sami the best of luck and tell Zayn they have his back no matter what. He's family after all. And as the Usos walk out of shot, Sami enters the dressing room and he's greeted by Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa, who are just absolutely staring daggers through the honoraries. Whilst Roman, he stood there open-armed with like a wry smile across his face. And the tribal chief embraces Sami, but there's still like a palpable tension in the air. Sami says that after everything the tribal chief has said recently, he wasn't expecting this kind of reception from Roman, but Rangy brushes it off. No, that's water under the bridge. Like, you stepped up on Monday and you helped your brothers out when they needed you the most. That's what matters, Oos. Doing like Roman Reigns, but he's not got this accent, obviously.
That's what matters,
Oos. That's what matters, Oos.
Hey, up.
Speaking of, we have that final test of yours to talk about, but then Sami cuts Roman off. Kevin Owens, I know, don't worry about it. I'll be there. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I promise I'll set things right between us, my tribal chief. And again, it's just conversations, this, right? This pitch. So no, Roman again, Sami interrupts Roman. That Kevin Owens problem. No, that's not the test. I don't want you anywhere near that. In fact, I want you as far away from that as possible. No, I shall have something else in mind for you. You see, my cousins, my blood, they seem to have taken a shining to you, Sami. So much of a shining, in fact, that on Monday, when my mind was made up, when I was ready to smash your face in, they saved you. Not only did they save you, they went above me, above my orders, above blood to stop anything from happening to you. Oh, you must be special, Sami. Now, if I'm not mistaken, though, this is still Roman. If I'm not mistaken, though, as the head of the table, as the tribal chief, last time I checked, what I say goes. And if my own blood is defying me for you, then maybe I need to refresh their memories a little. Oh, remind them that I'm the one who puts the food on their table, who feeds their kids, who provides for this whole family, who helped them become the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions. Because it'd be a damn shame if all of a sudden that stopped, wouldn't it, Sami? Roman clutches Sammy's shoulder as he leans in. He leans in a bit more menacingly, right? He goes, this isn't a test of loyalty to me. No. This is a final test of loyalty to the ones that truly believe you're 100% family, Oos. You're going to enter the Royal Rumble at number one. Outlast 29 other hungry opponents vying for a shot at my titles. You're going to win the match because if you don't, I'll make sure your brothers have no titles or livelihoods to defend.
What?
And so the final test, because, right, my idea stems from a number of things right now, right? So one, I want to swap things on the head a little bit. And instead of perhaps going for the obvious thing in Roman asking Sami to do something to Kevin Owens as a final task, like the paranoia is really starting to set into Roman's head. And it's starting to take over, and it leads Roman to take some like drastic measures to ensure the loyalty of Sami does indeed lie with the bloodline. Now, I feel like almost the Usos are turning babyface to sort of be on the side of Sami Zayn. And this is like a very slow build to this turn happening. And I feel like Sami and the Usos, they're the ones that are like, they're the three really close members of this whole entire faction, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sami would genuinely do anything for the Usos and vice versa. So if Sami has that weighing on him, if he has to win the Rumble, because if he doesn't, then Roman Reigns is going to absolutely flip up the Usos and take everything away from them and make sure like their kids don't get food. They're going to take the, he's going to take the titles. Like, Jimmy's already hurt. What's to stop him from absolutely battering Jay? Because he's just, he's going off his rocker a little bit here, is Roman. And also like other factors such as like Sami being sort of the, I guess the folk, from what we've seen in the leaked images of the Elimination Chamber, promotional stuff.
You've seen what?
I've seen little bits and pieces. The poster is like Sami Zayn in a chamber pod. Like, we're in Montreal.
Oh my God.
I feel like this is going to go a little bit further, right? I feel like also to test Sami Zayn, if he wins the Rumble, Roman's going to be like, right, you got to sacrifice.
Sami win the Rumble and the chamber one year.
Well, no, this is the thing, because of the chamber stuff, right? And with Sami doing this natural big babyface thing, it could be like a Daniel Bryan Kofi Kingston situation.
Yeah.
Where you just like completely have him hit rock bottom at this moment, and then he's really got to build himself up to go to WrestleMania.
So what's the match at Mania?
The match at
Sami and Roman?
I think so, yeah. Like, it feels more, because it feels, it. And I never thought this would, when you put this out there into the world like last year, I was like, he's having everyone on this guy. Sami's in to do it. And now I'm talking myself round to it, actually.
It's the obvious way to go.
Maybe happening. Because I feel like if you've got Kevin and Sami against the Usos, there's such tight-knit faction of like Sami Zayn and the Usos. Like, I feel
that's
like
an interesting twist that they will be like oppressed by Roman and they'll all be like, whoa, wait.
And that's it. And maybe instead of like Roman being the one to like shoo people out of the bloodline, maybe like everyone gets together to like get rid of Roman. Like, Roman goes too far off the deep end in his paranoia, and then he's just sort of,
then
he
could
lose everything.
Sami lead like a bloodline wolf pack.
Yeah.
Him and the Usos taking on Roman solo and Afa.
Or if Naomi comes back as well, and maybe wins one of the women's championships, maybe she could be put in that top spot too. Wow. But like, just everything that's happening at the moment, obviously there's a lot of hype around or a lot of talk around Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble, but it just doesn't feel as natural to me as what a Sami win would do. Yeah. And if you give him these stakes and that he's got to try and protect like his brethren and the fact that their livelihoods are on the line, and he has to do this, and then I think maybe that would be quite an exciting thing to do.
Do you remember when Paramore came back with the album? I can't remember the album. After Laughter.
Yeah.
The one with, and they, everyone was like, what's happened to Paramore? They're not pop punky. They're all dancey now. But it was still good in an off-kilter, unexpected way.
Mm.
That's your pitch.
Wow.
For giving it a yes.
Thank you.
You took it in a direction that I wasn't expecting, but I'm still all right with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I like how open-ended it leaves things. It can go in several directions, can't it there, Andrew? So I'll give it a yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mine's a bit of one theme that I've realized in those first two pitches is there's a lot of love for Sami Zayn now heading into the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what I've done.
I hope you're an Usy boy.
mine is the Men's Royal Rumble, of course. Mm-hmm. And I've just sort of kept this one in the, I've not gone, I was going to do a part two, but then I thought, well, that's not really a Royal Rumble, but I'm going to end it because the part two would have been nothing to do with the Rumble. So I'm going to leave that for a future video, I think.
Okay.
But it's the SmackDown before the Rumble, and we see Heyman consulting backstage with Roman Reigns, and he's like, my tribal chief, I've noticed we haven't entered any Bloodline members into the Royal Rumble match, my tribal chief. And Roman's like, why would they need a title shot when the Bloodline already has the most dominant champion in the history? Why would we need another member of the stable to win the Royal Rumble? And Heyman's like, of course, my tribal chief. I've written my tribal chief so many times. I would never question that, my tribal chief. But maybe we should have someone in the Rumble as insurance, just to make absolutely sure that we control the title and the Royal Rumble winner, and we hold all the bargaining power over WWE over Triple H and Adam Pearce going into WrestleMania. Excuse me. Roman likes Heyman's idea, and that night, during the Bloodline's typical in-ring SmackDown promo, he announces that the Bloodline will send one man into the Rumble to secure their position heading into WrestleMania. And there's only one man for the job. I wrote this before. He said he didn't want to see Sammy until SmackDown. He's one man for the job, Solo Sikoa. And Sammy's like visibly crestfallen in the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. But he tries to keep it a little secret. But the crowd all know. You can see him going like, you know when a wrestler's got to act like they're sad, but secretly, but it's blatantly out there, like, the thing that Matthew does. That it's the night of the Rumble, near the start of the show, and in the Bloodline's locker room, Roman's like, Solo, show me what number you got for the Rumble. And we don't, the camera doesn't see it, but judging by the reaction of Sammy and the Usos all around, it's a bad number. They all like, ooh. Solo very stoically insists that he's got this, because I don't think Solo would care. He'd be like, yeah, that's fine. And the Bloodline are like, yeah, but we want to make extra sure. Roman says, wise man, go out there and pull some strings. Find out whose number is immediately after Solo's number. And Heyman's like, yes, of course, and scurries away. It's Rumble time later on in the night, and Gunther is number one. Let's say he goes on a mini Lesnar run, eliminating people one by one until we get to about number six, which is Solo Sikoa. They batter each other and head to the outside and both go crashing through the announce table. They're both down and out, but not out the Rumble. They're just down on the outside. As they recover slowly, we get to number seven and nobody comes out. What's happened there then? Backstage we go, while commentary tell us that, well, there seems to have been a mistake here. Number seven was supposed to be a special surprise entry from NXT's own Andre Chase.
Oh.
But the cameras head into the parking lot where they see three balaclavaed figures leaving the Chase U bus and running back into the building. But even though they've got masks, it's clearly the Usos and Sami Zayn, like obviously it is. The cameras go in, everything's a mess. Andre Chase is beaten down. Tia Hale has been handcuffed to one of the armrests because she's just too feral and they had to control her. And Duke Hudson bravely hid in the onboard toilet, so he's safe.
Of course he
would. He comes out like, oh, I didn't know what happened. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Mm. You see what happened on this week's NXT, by the way?
Not yet, no.
Backstage, Adam Pearce is in Gorilla losing his mind. He's like, well, it's now been a good like 30 seconds since number seven was meant to come out. He's like, I need a replacement for the match. You can't get one at such short notice. Who should walk up to him but Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman? Roman feigns innocence, like, well, I didn't know anything about this, but if you're in need of an extra man, who better than main event Jey Uso to head into the Rumble? Pearce says, no, I've got a better idea. Number seven turns out to be Pierce's choice of Sami Zayn. Obviously, the crowd goes wild. Sami is conflicted. Maybe even like a cutback to Gorilla during Sami's entrance where Roman's like, not sure about this. Pierce looks really pleased with himself. The Rumble goes on with Solo and Sami helping each other survive all the way to the final four, which is Solo, Sami. I need like a bit like Strowman or Lashley or someone like that. I'll say Strowman, like a big giant, and a returning Cody Rhodes at number 30. Solo and Sammy have to use everything in their power to eliminate Strowman, which allows Cody to then tip out an exhausted Solo Sikoa. We're down to the final two, a fresh, rested, fully recovered, returned from injury Cody Rhodes versus an exhausted and emotionally drained Sami Zayn. He's also watched his best friend Kevin Owens get well battered by Roman earlier, so he's probably quite sad. So it's those two in the final. As I said, they have a long mini match like in 2007 at the end of that Rumble, and it's ultimately won by Sami Zayn. Oh! Because even I, Cody Rhodes' biggest defender, I think, I've got to admit that this year, just the way that the story has organically grown and the crowd reactions organically all happened. And the prospect of a storyline where Sami wins and Roman's getting increasingly paranoid along the road to WrestleMania, and then Sami finally does like the Batista turn and snaps. That's too good to pass up. I know that Cody's time can come later on, and I still think he should be champion eventually, but it's got to be Sammy this year, I think.
It won't be, though, will it?
No.
But it's what we want to happen, and that's why it's a yes.
It could be, because Triple H, it could be.
I know just your voice was a bit croaky. It sounded like you were, like, really gravely, but it won't be, though. It was really dramatic.
Yeah, I'm so on board with Sammy. It's got to happen, but it won't. I can't get used to it. But it's a yes from me. That all makes complete sense. And
thank you.
Yeah, tantalizing bollocks.
Yeah, it's the only good one I've done this video.
No. We'll be the judge of that. That was very good. So it's
thank
a yes
you.
From me as well.
Thank you very much.
As Ross said, it all makes sense. And
Ross, your second pitch.
Oh,
mate.
God, right. Here's where we go. Whoa. Off the cliff.
Off the rails.
Time constraints or not, that was a load of bollocks that they did on Raw with the lasses, Bayley and Becky Lynch on Monday.
Yes.
We sat here on Wednesday, there's just five, I say just, there's five matches on the card, and I reckon we can easily make that six and still keep things to a tight 4 hours of the Big Five PLE. So we get to the point of the show where Hardy is performing his hit single, Sold Out, the theme of the Rumble PLE. He's cut off by being smashed on top of the head by one of his guitarist's guitars, which is in the hand of Becky Lynch. Whack, she says, as she kills Hardy. Becky heads down to the ring and says, Bayley, that is a load of bollocks. What, like in kayfabe, what you did to me on Monday, you know, just beating me down and getting yourself out of the cage match. What a load of bollocks that was. I know you hear Bayley say, come on down here, shabba. Bayley comes down and is followed by Pierce, as I like to call him now on the weekly show. Not Adam Pierce, Pierce.
Oh.
Not Pierce.
Pierce could do it.
Pierce of Cultaholic, who is ill this week after editing that video I did about the recap of 2022.
That wasn't why.
They are correlated. They've got to be. They're linked what, somehow.
Out of exhaustion.
Yeah. Oh, that was a long edit for him. Bless his cotton socks. Oh. But Pierce.
Hope you're right, Pierce.
Yeah, hope. Yeah. Big up to Pierce. Right. But bald Pierce, wrestling Pierce, gets on the microphone and says, well, you're not getting away with this again. What you did on Monday with your cowardly attack, Bayley, that's not happening today. Then the Hell in a Cell appears. Now, it could be hidden within they do the four screen thing at the top of the ring, don't they?
Could
be hidden within that. They could have built a special pop-up Hell in a Cell for this one-off occasion. Whatever happens, Hell in a Cell is surrounding the ring and Bayley and Becky are inside of it.
Right.
Just imagine Pierce whapping out his
pop-up. I was going to say, imagine. Give me a hand with it.
Way aye. It's possible, honestly. Right. Becky and Bayley get the match that this feud properly deserves. We've been building up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
To this match, Bayley versus Becky in some sort of structure, and the angle is a hole for many months now, and to follow it up with something massive is just what should happen. Is that the end of the pitch? It might just be. Yes, it is.
Whoa.
But I can't argue with it.
An impromptu Hell in a Cell match, because why not?
Why not?
I think the very idea of I can never think in history of a surprise Hell in a Cell match. Mm. So I think that would be good if they can find a way to pull it off. I'm all for it.
The only way is to hide it within the four screens above the ring, innit?
Yeah. Or, as you were saying,
people would see anyway.
Would the music like cut Bayley off, like the dum 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 dum.
Way.
Yeah.
That could be Piers' new theme.
That's a big yes for me.
Yeah, I was so excited, right, for Raw 30 for that match as well. I was like, ooh, we're going to get some nice storyline development.
You got to see Triple H call Road Dogg Butterbean. That was funny.
And good that, innit?
All the lads say they were old.
That was good, innit?
And then Kurt Angle be the referee.
That good. Was, well, that was
Teddy
good.
Long was... That was
yeah, three Teddy segment, Long was good.
Three segments of the poker match.
good,
so DDP beat Medusa at poker.
Yeah, it was good that as well, wasn't it?
There was no way they could have trimmed anything from Raw.
Was it DDP?
DDP.
That didn't even register my mind.
Because he's
not an AEW man
anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see more development. I was so excited to see where sort of the Bayley and damage control stuff would go. Because as we said in that 2023 video we did for the pitches for WWE, not gelling with me. And I think it's going somewhere interesting. And I was hoping Monday was going to show us where it was going, and then it didn't.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we should say, in all fairness, they left it open-ended so they could go back and do something bigger down the line. I just think at the Rumble, now's the time to do it. Well, we've had 2 or 3 months of it now.
Yeah.
So now's the time to get it.
I think so. Gorgeous.
So it's a yes from you as well?
Yeah, it's a yes from me.
Your second pitch.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Okay. I've been saying before, as all of my pitches start, we're backstage again, everybody. Throughout the evening, before the men's rumble, we have several backstage interviews of participants with Byron and Kathy, all, of course, vowing to win the match and going to have their moment headlining the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. One of these said participants is someone who we haven't seen, I believe, since the December 19th episode of Raw, and that's Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis, when he's asked about how he feels, how he'll fare in the match, he simply just holds up a drawing that depicts him pointing towards the WrestleMania sign, whilst also holding the Miz's severed head. Spooky.
That's good, that's what he'd do, yeah.
So again later in the night, it's the Miz's turn to be interviewed about the Rumble, and when he's asked how he feels in regards to Dexter Lumis being involved in the match, he's like, what? His expression turns from one of overconfidence, to that of sheer fear. He panics and tries to usher the interviewer out of the way, exclaiming, I just realized I've got some business I need to attend to. And as he turns around to attend to said business, he's promptly stopped by a tall figure towering behind him. As Miz slowly turns around in hope that it isn't the murdering Neil Buchanan looming behind him, it's revealed to be none other than Intercontinental Champion Gunther. The ring general scoffs at the man before him. This is the wrestler people claim to have made the IC title feel more important again in the modern era. Pathetic! Gunther's done 10 times the work within his 7-month reign that the Miz ever did in all his reigns combined. Why doesn't he prove to Gunther, and Lumis as well for that matter, the man that perhaps was once deserving of such an accolade? As the Miz slowly tries to back away from Gunther, not wanting any business with the current IC champion, someone catches the Miz's eye off camera, and it was luckily exactly the person he was looking for, as Bronson Reed makes his way into shot. Preoccupied with having a little stare down whilst eyeing up Gunter's IC title, Bronson asks the Miz if there's a problem here, to which the Miz responds, absolutely, perhaps now a couple of problems. And he was hoping Bronson could take care of them in the Rumble with a little protection money. Bronson initially shrugs the offer off from the Miz, shrugs the offer off, but the Miz insists, and even pays Reed up front triple that of last time. Oh. Bronson doesn't even acknowledge the Miz as he says, pleasure doing business with you, keeping his eyes firmly clamped on the ring general and his gold. And so basically, right, in the Rumble match, for a prolonged time, we could have Reed acting as a reluctant bodyguard of the Miz, and then say it's like Lumis's time to shine, the countdown happens, his music pops up, but he just doesn't emerge from the rampway. And Miz then believes that Dexter is scared of Bronson because he's got some protection now. Cue Gunter then entering the match, and he and Bronson clash hard, and that sort of sets up something down the line between them two for maybe like an IC title match, with Reed not paying attention to the Miz at all at this point either, which then leads to Lumis slowly bearing out from under the ring, snatching and eliminating Mike Mizanin. And then we can have something between Bronson Reed and Gunter. That was a long-winded way to get to something between Bronson Reed and Gunter for an IC title match, perhaps.
But somewhere. I like it, even though you might say it was long-winded, because what you've done there is something that last year's Rumble and many Rumbles failed to do, which is pay attention to the mid-card.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like that. So I'm giving it... You might say it's convoluted. I think it's nicely interwoven.
Thanks.
I'm giving it a yes.
Thanks very much.
I would compare it to cooking a joint of honey-glazed gammon in the oven from about 11 a.m. on a Sunday afternoon all the way through until 3-4.
Are we doing...
Knock on the door.
Are we doing air fryer?
It took a long time. No.
No?
Come on, you got to get things right with a meat. I know you can do in the air fryer and you get fantastic results. I went home last week to my mum and she cooked a little gammon joint in the air fryer. Ooh. Fantastic. You put it in for an hour, you turn it over, you put it back in for an hour, bit of honey glaze in 10 minutes full, bish, bash, bosh, it's done, you if go. You're wondering at home. But we're in the oven now and I was going to say that because it's taken a long time, but the end result is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And
I'm
it's
glad.
Meaty. Like Gunter and Bronson Reed would be.
That would be nice.
Why are
so for Christmas, my girlfriend got a slow cooker.
Is that where it's at?
If we can be asked to get up in the morning, but it's the results, it pays off in spades. The results fantastic. Man, yeah,
need to get one of them.
It's a yes from Israel.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're all doing really well. This is a bit silly. This one concerns the Raw Women's title match between Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss. Before the Raw Women's title match, we see Bliss warming up in her locker room when the lights go out. Smoke pours. Smoke pours out from the lockers all around, seeping through the holes. The door swings slowly open. An eerie light bathes the room, and of course in steps Uncle Howdy. She's about to confront him, but he reaches his hands out and silences her and says some weird, magical, cryptic nonsense and casts his hands as if casting a spell over Alexa Bliss. The lights go out, and when they come back on, he's left the room, he's gone. Bliss is like, what was that? Now we get to the match with Bianca Belair. Bliss is giving it all she's got, but obviously Belair is just much better, throwing her around with considerable ease. But then Bliss starts to fight back, as if possessed by some sort of demonic power. Finally, Bianca gets the KOD. Bliss kicks out at one. Bianca can't believe it, goes straight for another KOD, but Bliss counters a huge DDT. 1, 2, 3, Alexa Bliss is the Raw Women's Champion. She celebrates with the title, but here comes Uncle Howdy. She gets on the mic and says, Uncle Howdy, I was skeptical before. I don't know you and I don't understand you, but thank you. Thank you for whatever it is you did to me before this match. I've never felt so strong and so skilled in the ring. Howdy gets the mic and says, you might have thought that my spell carried you through this match, but I didn't give you any magical powers tonight. I just needed you to believe in yourself. Or you might say, to believe in yourself. Then she jumps on his back and they fly away. That's my bit.
I like the development there. Because I
really?
No, I've had enough of Howdy just going, and then that'd be the end of what Howdy does every week. I'm like, yeah. We've jumped forward several steps in one go, and I'm all on board with that.
If really? He can fly, yeah. Then he can it's fly already well. A yes.
It's like the end of Grease when the car flies off.
I reckon his hat could turn into like a propeller.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was inspired by Space Jam. Because at halftime, Michael Jordan gives the Looney Tunes his special stuff in a bottle, but it's just water.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Bliss needs here.
Bliss just needs some of that special uncle. So.
Goodness me.
Andrew, special uncle.
Not that I've ever, never mind. Never mind. But I like it. I like how creative these can be. It's allowed to be creative with Uncle Howdy, right? I think if he wants to fly, he can fly. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the main thing it takes on the fact it's Bo Dallas? It's Bo Dallas.
But Bo Dallas can fly now.
It's Bo Dallas.
Which is good.
That's the main thing, is it not? Not the fact he can fly.
He can fly, everyone.
I just like the flying aspect.
Where's the Royal Rumble this year?
San Antonio.
Imagine them flying through the Texas sky. Off they go. Where's Raw next week? Oh. Set a course. Ross, your next pick.
Right. Number 27, Cody Rhodes. Number 28, Brock Lesnar. Ooh. Number 29, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh.
Number 30, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh.
Brock takes out Steve.
It's at the start of that Mania.
It's the reaction I wanted. We didn't pre-plan this at all. No. Brock Lesnar takes Steve out of the match, but because he's Austin, Steve can come back into the ring, stuns Brock, and sends him over the top rope.
Nice. Like 97.
Nice. Remember that? Yeah. Aye. We've seen it before, and he sets up their rumoured match that was pitched but nixed, but I want it to be pitched again and accepted this time around.
Even though
it's terrifying to imagine Stone Cold in his neck and not wrestling too often for the last 19 years, taking an F5 or something like that. It's still a thing I want to see with morbid curiosity. Then I've got laughed at in that predictions video me and Tom did for suggesting that could be a match that could happen, but it's been discussed, right? Dave Meltzer said so. And
laughed at by the comments, not by Tom.
Yeah. Tom laughed at it as well.
Oh, did he? Oh, no.
Mean boy. Fraser laughed at it as well.
Why?
Arrogance.
You know?
Wow.
I mean, it was far-fetched, and it was me going, I've not got Austin on the card, and he's definitely coming back. What can I do with him?
No, but in hindsight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Genius. Yeah. I've got sources, actually. No, I haven't. whoever else in the match gets taken, because we could have other people, obviously, apart from the final four entrants in the ring, they all get taken out, and we end the match with Cody taking out The Rock on the way to WrestleMania and gets a chance at the title, because it would be a shock. And of course, we have to end on a handshake with The Rock and Cody Rhodes, because that would turn Cody heel, probably, because he's taken out The Rock as the last person. So it's The Rock and Cody, your final two in this scenario here. Of course, I want Sami Zayn to get to WrestleMania somehow, but we could have Cody Rhodes win the Rumble in this other pitch, because you can't want more than one thing in life.
It's true.
And that's the fantastic ending to the Men's Royal Rumble match.
So
the stars of today.
It's a strong final four.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It would be fun, like, watching it live to see those four come out.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, everybody go mental for The Rock coming out, but then for Stone Cold to follow that as well.
Yeah. They could reprise some of their spots from their famous matches over the years.
Yeah.
Rock could do his big stupid sell that I don't like.
Leather jacket on a steel. Yeah.
We need Austin to come out earlier, though, so he can sit on the ring rope and do his, like, watch thing.
What? Why? Everyone loves that Rock sell of the stunner, and I just don't know. I think it's stupid.
I don't know.
He does like a handstand.
Yeah. It's because he's always trying to pop Austin, wasn't it?
I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, he was always trying to make him laugh.
It's the sheer velocity.
Yeah. you saw Scott Hall, he went straight up into
his was
stratosphere.
Amazing. Richard Tubman did an edit of that.
He did.
And he got a follow.
Stone Cold followed him. And he handled it so calmly, like Richard Tubman. Like, yeah, Austin followed
him. He's a cool guy.
I mean, Steve, been DMing.
It's got to be a yes, because you can't really, as much as we harp on about, like, focus on the stars of today, you can't deny that
it
sort
would
of star
fun.
Power. Yeah, it would, yeah.
You can't deny that kind of stuff. So it's a yes from me as well.
Thank you.
That's a thigh-slappingly good time.
Uncle Andrew with your magical juice.
My magical sauce. Are we ready for my final one?
Yes, Uncle.
Yeah, well, I'd rather not, but... so this is just a very generalized pitch in terms of things I'd like to see in the Women's Royal Rumble match. Okay. So it's just a few points here and there.
I like it. It's a little, like, a little buffet.
It is. It is. A little, you get to pick what you like, pick and choose.
Nice.
Little sausage rolls. This one, I've already said that, generalized pitch for the Women's Rumble. And as much as I'd like to book the match as a whole itself, we've only got a finite amount of time on this planet, okay, everyone? So we'll do this.
You said that ahead of my pitch.
You know, I'm excited now.
Nope.
So the match obviously helps to set up the next credible challenges for Io Sky and Dakota Kai's tag team titles. I think that's an important thing that needs to happen.
Yep.
I think on the live circuit, Tegan Nox and Liv Morgan have been teaming up together for the titles. But if you get Candice LeRae in there and Mia Yim in there, that could work too, given the history with all these wrestlers. So I'd like to see something there happen. I think we definitely need some development and some credible challenges for those tag team titles. I'd also love to see a teaming of Lita and Trish Stratus happen again. And this could also perhaps lend credibility to either the tag champions, maybe, you know, getting one over on them, or either some other sort of stars of the current generation too, who could eliminate them. And it could also tie into a moment similar to the men's 2018 Royal Rumble as well. You know what I mean?
Trish lost her retirement match to Charlotte Flair at SummerSlam.
She's coming back to rectify it, all right? the Rumble.
Sorry to just jump in, but you know Mickie James is doing this whole, like, the next match she loses, she's going to retire, like Ric Flair sort of storyline. Can they get Trish to retire? That would be amazing.
Different company, yeah. It's well within the right
team.
She's just not allowed to definitely step back in a WWE ring because she lost to Charlotte Flair.
Well, this is Trish.
Nullifying your pitch completely.
Trish Stratus. That's who it is instead. If not Trish, then someone else.
I'm joking, Andrew.
You can have Mickie.
But then, I also want that to tie into a moment that's similar to, like, the men's 2018 Rumble, where we had the old guard and the new guard facing off. I always like stuff like that. Yeah, I always like stuff like that. I reckon we need sort of Rhea and Raquel trying to one up one another with the number of eliminations they try and rack up. I think Liv Morgan continues to win fans over once again by, like, really proving herself as the Iron Woman of the match. I want people to get back on her side again.
She's homicidal.
Trying. She is. She's just Sabu.
Yeah, she is.
Homicidal, genocidal, other ones. And things. As I think we need to see a returning Beth Phoenix as well, vowing to exact her revenge on Rhea Ripley, but ultimately fails to do so as she's unintentionally eliminated by another superstar who has a vendetta against Ripley. She's got a few people. She's got, like, Liv Morgan, because there was the whole stuff where they were teaming together. You got Mia Yim and everything as well. All sorts of shenanigans going on, right? I think we need to see Asuka make a first appearance of the year, maybe with a new look, demeanor, and personality that sits somewhere between face and heel.
Oh,
she's going to be a part of the Wyatt thing, isn't she?
Oh, no, I was going to say she's got to be now surely one of the favorites for the Rumble. I still think Rhea, but now I'm like, ooh.
I think, but so basically, Asuka's now, she's like out for herself and reverted back to being a mental unstoppable kicking machine.
Okay.
And then, like, the final point I've got here is Naomi returns to a hellacious pop entry in at number 30. She decimates everyone until, right, and I just want to see this happen for some reason, until a rear view to rear ends up being caught in midair and then turned into a riptide that goes over the top rope. And then Rhea picks up the win because I think Rhea Ripley deserves it. She's really proven herself this year. I think things were a bit shaky when she first stepped up to the main roster. There's always like a feeling out process for a lot of people. But I think Rhea has really like stepped into her own this year and just become a lot more confident in herself. I think I feel like she knows where she's at on the main roster, and I think she deserves a lot of good things this year. So that's just a few points there.
I like them.
Her and Bianca are the obvious match to have, aren't
they? I think so. I think it would be an amazing match to have as well.
Generational.
Yes.
The future, yeah. Yes. I like all this part. The first one I liked a lot because I've forgotten myself about the women's tag team titles.
Yeah. As we all do these days. Yeah.
It's a yes for me.
Thank you.
No arguments there.
How long have we been going for?
It doesn't matter.
I'm worried this is going to take
several hours if you want to.
No. So this is the one that I ran by when Ross wasn't in the room. I ran this by Fraser and Jack Atkins. They were like, well, Jack Atkins was all for it. Mm-hmm. Fraser was like, you've got to commit to it. And I can't.
We know that Jack Atkins has taste, though, you see.
So. Weird taste in some
He's
things.
Also a sarcastic man.
No, he turned around and went, this is amazing. All right. So I think two Rumbles isn't enough. I've booked a third Rumble. I'm just going to go through the entrance. Please pick your own winners in your mind if you want. I'm just going to go through all the 30 entrants. What I did was I went on Wikipedia and chose 30 random articles, and those are the 30 entrants for this Rumble.
You have got to
commit. Come on, right.
Yeah, come on.
Number one. Why, it's John Aspinwall Roosevelt, the sixth and youngest child of Franklin Roosevelt.
Yay!
Oh my God, it's one
of them. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Do you think he's going to do well?
Well, he might do.
Number two is Anthony Julien, a French former cyclist, although he's only 24 at the time of recording, so he's retired.
He must have fallen off his bike.
So we think that John's got we think Roosevelt's got the edge at the moment. Number three is the 1933-34 Ohio Bobcats men's basketball team.
Yay! No way!
They're all dead, aren't they?
Number four, the province of Livorno in Tuscany. Number five is Lyrognathus janispositoi, a breed of tarantula, the Sumatran stout-like tarantula.
Poisonous?
Maybe.
I didn't think that'd be in there.
Number six, trade unions in Egypt.
Yes!
Number seven, the use of trees in Chinese mythology.
What were they used for?
I don't know. I didn't read that. just a chronicling of the use of trees in Chinese mythology. Number eight, Grace Nichols, the winner of the 1983 Commonwealth Poetry Prize.
Oh.
She's not going to win very well. Okay. Number nine, the State Railway of Thailand. Mm-hmm. Number 10, we're a third of the way through. Number 10, Gang Jo, a Korean general in the early 11th century, although it wasn't called Korea at the time, but it was on the Korean Peninsula. Number 11, RIPD, which stands for Rest in Peace Department, a 2013 supernatural action comedy starring Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds.
I like that.
Have you seen it?
No, but it
Jack Atkins and Fraser had seen it. They were like, it's terrible.
I've heard of it before.
It's bad.
That sounds like something for The Undertaker.
I've got
to
no faith
well.
In Ryan Reynolds wrestling.
No?
It's like a pencil in it.
I've not seen that Wrexham documentary. I don't know what he's
like. I like him. He's a sarky man.
Who is? At the minute, have you got any favourites?
Grace the Poet for me.
Grace?
I like...
I really didn't think you'd be on board. It was your reaction. I was worried. I thought you'd just be stone-faced.
No.
Going, this is bollocks.
Let's go.
Oh, okay.
I like Chinese trees.
In mythology.
The trees in mythology.
But how are they going to get people over the top rope, Andrew?
Watch out, because how is anyone going to eliminate number 12? The Phasma FPB-20, a patrol boat originally belonging to the Bremen State Police in Germany, now owned by the Lebanese Navy.
That's my new favorite now.
That's very good.
Number 13, the Battle of Thomas Creek in the American War of Independence. We won that one.
Get it.
I looked at the result on the sidebar of battles. It's got result and it went, British victory.
Yes!
We lost the war, famously, to all the American lads. Number 14, why it's Russian figure skater and dog owner Daria Danilova.
Oh.
It didn't have anything interesting about her. It was like, she's a figure skater, she's 20 years old, she's 5 foot nothing, and she owns a dog.
5 feet of fury?
Yeah.
Mm. Number 15, we're halfway there, season 5 of Romanian X Factor. Number 16, Toms River High School North, a high school in Ocean County, New Jersey. Imagine if someone watches this from that school.
Like, what? No way. I'm going to WrestleMania.
Number 17 is American comic book artist Megan Kelso. Her works include Who Will Make the Pancakes? Number 18, a history of the Copper America broadcasting rights on United States television. Number 19 is the masculine Japanese given name, Kaneyoshi.
Ooh.
Number 20, Mount Skook Davidson, a mountain in British Columbia, Canada.
My new favourite.
The mountain?
Yeah.
Well, how's anyone going to...
Yeah.
The boat was big enough, but it's a pretty mountain.
What about the trees in the mountain? They could have a nice little clash.
They come there. Together.
You know what I mean? They could do.
Thanks, lads. You're really helping what was a bad pitch. Number 21 is the Neo-Charismatic Movement, a Protestant Christian movement that believes in speaking in tongues and faith healing and all that sort of
stuff.
Get
the kids out the ring before they come back.
I'm sure we've got no members of the Neo-Charismatic Movement. Number 22, American artists Aziz plus Kutcher. Not Aziz and Kutcher. Wikipedia specified it's two blokes. The picture's just two men. It's Aziz plus sign Kutcher. Very pretentious. They are pioneers in the field of digital imaging.
Mm.
Number 23, I was annoyed. It's another name-based one. It's the Spanish surname, Calvino.
Oh.
Number 24, Dubrovnik International University. Number 25 is the 1995 season of the historic Formula One Championship. Not the Formula One Championship, the historic Formula One Championship where they race old cars from the 60s and 70s. This is the 1995 season of that.
Would they make it to the ring?
Yeah.
Number 26 is German hospital drama Alpha Team Die Lebensritter im OP. Lucky number 27, it's Kenneth Davis, retired British wrestler.
Well, now then.
Amateur wrestling.
Oh.
He was in the 1972 and 76 Summer Olympics for Britain.
Still has a foot in the door there.
Number 28 is the Marvel superhero Siren, the daughter of Banshee, one of the X-Men, apparently.
What does that mean?
Her superpower is a sonic scream.
Yeah. So that could, I mean, that's...
Distraction tactic and then get everyone over the top rope.
A mountain doesn't have ears, though, does it?
Even as a boat, yeah.
But it could make a mountain crumble.
I don't know what I've done. I'm
the
so glad
the trees could pick
in.
Up the mountain and throw... I reckon the trees are the thing.
I'm
trees
still
in
going
Chinese
for the
mythology.
Trees. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the last two, but the trees might be tired by this point. Number 29 is Elk Creek, a stream in Kansas. And number 30 is Cockney actor from the 1930s, Harry Terry.
Oh, he could...
No, he's not. Terry's not going to win.
Is he not?
No.
But he could charm the trees.
How?
I push him face. I'm going down stage.
Come on, trees, you slay.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got, I think there, the consensus winner from you two was the use of trees in Chinese mythology.
Yeah, it makes more sense. They could pick things up.
Because they've got roots as well, the roots.
Roots, yeah, they could tie themselves to the ring, couldn't they?
They can gently wave at the WrestleMania sign.
What's the next pay-per-view after the Rumble?
Don't know.
Chamber, right?
The Chamber.
I think so.
So we'll be back with six pitches for the Elimination Chamber.
Why would you say yes or a no, lad? Give it a yes or a no.
I'll give it a yes. It'll be an interesting battle for all to see.
There was still speculation there, right? And that's always a good thing.
Viewers,
so
let me
yes.
know your picks for the winner of the Random Rumble. And
who would win? Would it be the Chinese tree, the boat, or the mountain?
Or Harry Terry.
Harry Terry. Six pitches for Elimination Chamber.
Look out for all of our great content in the build-up to the Royal Rumble. I'll be doing What Happened At Ross afterwards. Ross will be doing WTF Moments for the Royal Rumble afterwards as well. Will you be on the stream?
Yeah, so we'll have the predictions going up tomorrow as well, myself and Adam, and we'll also be doing the Royal Rumble live stream over at youtube.com/cultaholic/live.
Everybody look forward to the Rumble. We all do. And I.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Thank you for watching this video.
Rumble, Rumble.
I laughed and it
you blew my paper away, man.
Thank you for watching this video. Let us know your own pitches for this year's Royal Rumble in the comment section down below as well. And have a great, great day. I've been Jack. This has been Andrew. This has been Ross. And we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.